Okay, part three, putting it into practice, putting our faith into practice. Let's have a look at that. Yep, moving forward and upward. That's what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. Okay, Vince Lombardi's book titled What It Takes to Be Number One, in a brief statement that is up on most of the sporting locker rooms all over the world. It's actually in the Dockers sporting room. It's actually in the West Coast Eagles. It's in the All Blacks. It's in the Wallabies sporting room. And it's in a lot of the American football rooms. This is one of the greatest passages of motivational statements that you'll probably ever see. Listen to what Lombardi said. He says, you've got to pay the price. Let's do it in the sporting way, shall we? You've got to pay the price. Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes out to ply his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay. You've got to be smart to be number one in any business. But more important, you've got to play with your heart and every fibre of your body. If you find a guy with a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off the field second. That's his statement. Probably the West Coast Eagles needed to hear that on Friday night. But obviously the Wallabies heard that last night, yeah? Now, few people live with that kind of passionate commitment, don't they? Vince Lombardi poured out his heart and soul into the challenge of championship sport. And another champion of the early day also left his philosophy of winning behind when we have it for us in the third chapter of Philippians. In a clear and motivating statement, Paul tells us what it takes to put our faith into practice and what it takes to win and to reach the goal and to achieve. For him and for all, the goal is far more compelling than winning a game. It calls us to be winners in our relationship for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage before us, we learn what it means to move forward and upward in our Christian lives. And in your outlines this morning, number one, it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14 says this. I don't mean to say what I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved for me and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Now, there are two things Paul mentions here that we must do if we're going to continually be moving ahead of our Christian life and in the life of the church. And they are, in your outline, A, keep your mind off the past. In Luke chapter 9:62, Jesus said, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Just this morning, I was speaking to Monique Crabtree's husband, and we were talking about plowing. He's a farmer, and he knows a lot about plowing. I was just talking to him about it. I said, the Lord just gave this verse to me, and I just want to talk to you about it. But I mean, he said, yeah, when you're plowing, if you look back, it's like driving a car. If you look back, what's going to happen? You're going to go off the road, aren't you? And that's what happens when you're plowing. You're plowing, you look behind you, and you're going to take the ox and the cart and everything else with you on a track. And Mr. Crabtree said this morning, he said, if you go off about a half a meter, just a half a meter, and you go down the line, you can't turn around and go back. But what that half a meter gap does, it sows in seeds of weeds, and it will wreck So this is what God's saying. God's saying, don't look behind you as you plow, as you do your work. Don't look, because it's going to take you off. And I'm going to get into that in a bit more. If you're a runner, you know that running a race, you can't afford to look back. You'll lose your speed, you'll lose your direction, and you're not careful, you'll lose the race. Now, this is an easy assessment for any of us. I appreciate that. It is a result of a decision that we must make as individuals and as a church. We simply must decide that we will not be controlled by our past. Paul says the one important thing that he did was forgetting the past. Paul was talking about selective forgetfulness. What kind of things need to be forgotten? People, we must forget our failures. If we look at our past failures as opportunities to learn and grow, then it's all right to remember them. But if we allow them to fill us full of despair, negativity, and defeat, we must forget them. In other words, we cannot allow our failures to get to teach us, but not to terrorize us. You understand? We can look back to teach us, but not to terrorize us. And I see this in this world today, that everyone looks back at, oh, what the life was like, and that's what I'll always be like. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. When Winston Churchill visited US during World War II, he said up here, if the past quarrels with the past, there can be no future. We must learn to accept the past as unalterable and move on. You know, you can't change the past. It's happened. It's history. It's done. Don't try and alter history. You cannot do it. You cannot go back in time and change the past. It is done. Another thing is, we must forget our successes. We should remember them if they make us grateful, but if they make us proud and arrogant, we need to forget them. The leader of the persecuted church once said 95% of believers who face the test of persecution pass it. While 95% of believers who face the test of prosperity fail it. Paul has already listed for us the accomplishments he's made in his personal life and for the kingdom. But now he says, I need to forget those things. I need to move on. Which brings us to B, keep your mind on your goal. Sounds a bit like a motivational talk this morning, doesn't it? You feel like you're in a locker room or something. Paul again said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Now, we're still all in this Olympic period, aren't we? We've got the Paralympics on at the moment. We've just had the major Olympics on. And Paul is using the language of athleticism here. The word strain to reach describes a runner straining towards the end of the race, reaching out to be the first one to break through the tape and to be declared victorious. In the athletic world, the name of the game is concentration. If an athlete can't concentrate, if he can't teach himself to focus, he won't be able to compete. Athletes talk about being in the zone. And I remember Kathy Freeman those years ago when she won the 400 metres, she said, I could not see anything but in front of me. I couldn't see the thousands of people. I couldn't even hear the thousands of people cheering me on. All she could think of was the lane that she was in, and she was focused on it. Concentration is so intense that it blocks out the rest of the world. They don't hear the noises in the crowd. They don't feel the pain or the injury. They are totally focused on the goal and winning the prize. We, like Paul, must place ourselves in a zone like an athlete. Most of us should keep our mind focused, but we should all keep our mind focused on the prize that is before us. Notice the prize isn't defined here. But most likely he is talking about the day that we can be in total communion with Jesus Christ. No distractions, no sin, no temptation, just pure fellowship with Jesus Christ. Wow. We've got to keep moving towards that goal. Number two, it's time to stay the course. Philippians 3:15 and 17 says, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make a plan for you. But we must be sure to obey the truth. We have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Great passage of Scripture. In one of the many attempts to scale Mount Everest before the successful climb in 1953 by Sir Edmund Hillary, a team of mountain climbers made a final dash for the summit. Their courageous attempt failed, and to this day they lie buried somewhere in the snow, mummified. One of the party who had stayed below when the final assault was attempted, returned to London, and one day he was giving a lecture on the mountain climbing. He stood before the magnificent picture of Mount Everest. As he concluded his address, he turned around, addressing the mountain, and he said, We have tried to conquer you and failed. We tried again and you beat us, but we shall beat you, for you cannot grow any bigger and stronger, but we can. The hardest part of Christian life is staying the course. We have a personal failure. We have a personal failure in our lives, and we become discouraged, and our goals weren't reached as quickly as we wanted, and we had set our sight on the wrong goals. So instead of staying ahead in the Christian life and growing in our faith and witness, we find ourselves going backwards. Just because you give your life over to Jesus Christ, please don't think that it's all going to be smooth sailing. So how can we stay ahead in our Christian walk? Well, just like the mountain climber said to Mount Everest, we can say to the thing that is holding us back, we have tried to conquer you and failed, but we will beat you, for you cannot grow bigger, but we can. Amen? Amen? As we walk the walk of Christianity, we grow in spiritual maturity. The things that once conquered us are no longer such a threat. The sins that once held grasp are now reduced to a small temptation. Did you know from the age of 18 to 21, I smoked 60 cigarettes a day? That's 2 packets of cigarettes a day. Yes, I gave it up. I mean, I remember one time one person in our old church stood up, an old guy, a bit of a religious nutter. He got up and he said, all smokers are going to hell. And I never forget the pastor. He said, hang on. That's not true, brother. They may smell like they've been to hell. I love that. That kept me going. That kept me smoking for some time. No, don't smoke. But that was my temptation. That was my struggle. I've had plenty of them. But bit by bit, as I walk out my Christian faith, those things that seem to be big mountains become so small. You know, we're all on a journey. Don't beat yourselves up. We're all on a journey. And some of you guys might be struggling, and women might be struggling in some areas of your life. Keep your eyes focused on the Bible, on the Word of God, and He will pull you through every temptation. He will always give you an out, which I'll talk about in a minute. As we leave one sin behind, we usually find there's another one to conquer. Temptation, ladies and gentlemen, is probably our greatest companion in our life. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And so we struggle and we conquer and we struggle and we conquer and we struggle and we conquer and we struggle and we conquer. And all the time we're going through this process, we're gaining spiritual strength and becoming more mature in our Christian walk. We're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ himself. The secret to moving forward and upward is not just moving ahead, but it's staying ahead. It's like living out the continual process of leaving those things behind that no longer matter and taking more on of Jesus Christ. Paul gives us a few practical ways to do that. In verse 15, Paul says, all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. What things? The things that he mentioned in verse 14. Pressing on, meeting the spiritual goal, anticipating the prize that awaits us. You see, the Christian who is in the process of maturing in Christ has his mind on these things. They are the most important things in his or her life. In verse 16, Paul says, we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. How many of us fail at doing that? We've learned that we've been born again. We've learned that we've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, that we have eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is living within us as our counselor and guide. What have we learned? That we've got everything that matters in life. Everything. We've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. We've got everything that we need. No matter what happens in my life, if I lose my job, I'll be very sad, okay? If I have emotional struggles, if my house is always a mess, it's not. If my ex-wife or husband, I don't have an ex-wife, but if you know what I mean, my ex-wife or husband is always causing me problems, I can still focus on the one thing that really matters. I have attained a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have attained a relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 17, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. See, the third thing we must do is to stay on course is to follow the example of others that are doing it. If I'm struggling in my marriage, I need to follow example of some other believers who have had marriage struggles and pulled through. And if you're one of those people that have had marriage problems and you've pulled through, well then guess what? You should be helping others in the fellowship that you know that are struggling. Don't ever, please, say, oh, yeah, we went through that. Yeah, well, no, we're not going to tell anyone. That's not relationship. That's not how family operates. If you know that someone's been struggling in an area that you have struggled in, that you have broken, go to them and say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I do know that you're struggling in this area. I have been there. That's what life's about. This is what this passage is all about. If I'm having trouble at work and I need to follow the example of other Christians who have dealt with the same problem, do it. If I'm having trouble raising my kids, now this is a real tough one, isn't it? We don't like to be told how to raise our kids. But we are Christians and we are a family of brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. And listen, no one is perfect. You know the biggest breakthrough I ever had about my children, about parenting my children? There's some guy full of wisdom once said to me, he says, Kerry, just chill. I only had one at the time. But he said, chill. I chilled and I had five. Yeah, be careful what you listen to. But he said to me, if God can't get his children to be good, then how can you? He was talking about Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve. And look what Adam and Eve did. Parents of young children, don't be constrained. Don't put pressure on yourselves. All you do is just pray. Follow Jesus. Go to other elderly people around you that you can see have had successful families. Don't be ever so proud to ask for help. It's the hardest thing about parenting, is that we don't want anyone to butt in. The Word of God says, go, find someone to help you. So much easier. I know Sally and I, we had a lot of people we could go to on our journey, and we're still going to people saying, oh my goodness, she's turning 16 in 16 days. What do we do? Only joking. But it's true. We're not perfect, but we need help. We all need help. Amen? Number three, it's time to focus on the future. For I've told you often before, I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that this is scripture, okay? This is not me. For I've told you often before, I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. I'm going to read that again. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct show they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. People, get this into you, please. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer everything, everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, that is everything and everywhere. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward and the reward of my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. A couple of years ago when I was in Haiti. Haiti doesn't sound that good, doesn't it? But it's in the Bahamas. That sounds better, doesn't it? We came across a lot of witch doctors, and they believe in an evil spirit called Chikchani. It's like an owl bird with his head turned around backwards. Some say they've seen him in the forest and in the interiors of the land, and they say that if you see him, you must not laugh. And if you do, he will turn your head around backwards and you'll never see the future. Never see the future. In other words, they turn into naysayers or negative people. There's no hope for the future. Blah, blah, blah. Sadly, that has already happened to some Christians and to some churches. That they've become negative. They've become naysayers. And they don't see any future for themselves, for their family, and for the church. All they can see is the past. They're either weeping over past failures or glorying over past achievements. But it's all in the past. They have their heads turned around backwards, and God is calling us always to look ahead, Paul reveals that those who are his enemies of the cross of Christ don't have anything favorable in the future. If you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, if you can't call yourself a Christian, you do not have a future. Your future is full of destruction. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have an amazing journey ahead of you. An amazing journey. Not only in this world, but in the kingdom of heaven. They can only look ahead to destruction, which is their destiny. Their mind is on earthly things, on personal satisfaction. Does it sound familiar? In the here and now. Remember, we're not of this world, ladies and gentlemen. We're not of this world. But we who are in Christ can look ahead with confidence. We are citizens of heaven, aliens on this earth. We look forward to the day when our Savior will return. And we look ahead to the day when our bodies will be transformed into the likeness of the resurrection body of Jesus Christ himself. Wow. And because of this hope, this certainty, we stand firm in our faith, always pressing on. We're looking ahead to the prize that awaits us, but we also must take a step back and look ahead into what we're going to do as we wait for this glorious day. Where will we be in our personal walk in the Lord in 1 year's time, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? Where will our church be in 1 year or 5 years or 10 years' time from now? If we're looking forward, if we're not looking forward, we're looking backward. It's only one of the two. You can't look sideways. If you're not looking forward, you're looking backwards. If we're not going forward, guess what? We're going backwards. God isn't satisfied with maintenance ministry. Always trying to keep things the way they are. Always trying to not rock the boat. Never having the willingness to step out in faith for him. You know, as we look ahead into the future of Hillside and into our personal futures, let us never forget that the potential in front of us is unlimited. Each and every one of you, doesn't matter how old you are, the potential in front of you is unlimited. God can do anything through us if we're willing to risk. If we're willing to step out, if we're willing to give him the chance to work in our lives. You know, I'm really excited, as I said before, about Hillside Church community outreach. This is stepping out in faith. You know, we've got to get a whole bunch of freezers and fridges and we had to get the big fridge from up there that's never been used to be put out here. It's going to be outside here, padlocked and everything. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay for that? But if you step out in faith, if you step out, God will provide. And God did provide. A company called A.J. Baker rang us up and said, I heard that you're starting up an outreach program in partners with Margaret Court. And we said, yes. She goes, well, we want to pay for everything. We want to put all the freezers in. We want to get the big fridge from up there and put it down in here. If you step out, the future, man. Man, God is so good. I really want you to listen, people. I don't want anyone in this room to be any naysayers anymore or negative, think negative about your future. Because if you have Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, your future is unbelievable. Can I have the music team up here, please? If we are to see growth in our personal lives and in the life of the church, it's going to take discipline. A decision that no matter what happens, we will be victorious. In this regard, the words of Vince Lombardi, who you heard about at the beginning, again ring true when we apply them to our spiritual lives. He says, I've never known a man worth his salt who in the long run, deep down in his heart, didn't appreciate the grind and discipline. There is something in good men and women that really yearns for discipline. I firmly believe that any man or woman's finest hour, his or her greatest fulfillment to all he or she holds dear, is that moment when he or she has worked their heart out and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. Today, let us dedicate ourselves in victory to move forward and upward. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything from the past to hold me down. And trust me, there is a lot of stuff in my past that can easily hold me down. Some of you, I've spoken about it before. Many, many years ago, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. Oh, you'll never read, you'll never write, you'll never be a speaker, you'll never play an instrument, you'll never do that. You'll never, 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 never. And that held me down because I couldn't see a bright future for myself. And I know there's people in this room that have had things spoken over you, saying that you'll never do that, you'll never get a house, you'll never get enough money to be able to do this or that or whatever, blah, 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 blah. You might be struggling with pornography or something like that, and you're thinking, oh, I'm no good, I can't beat this, I'm struggling in this area, my marriage and everything else, I'm no good, I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, the one thing that I said to someone this week is that sometimes we get really stupid. All of us do. And we get a little sin and we can say, okay, there's the sin there. I'm just going to leave it there, but it's not going to get bigger. Because we look at sin as a cake and we just take a piece of cake out of it. But you know what? That is the most stupidest thing that we can do. Because what we do, we allow Satan to come into our foyer of our front door, and we think that Satan is just there. So you just stay there, Satan, and I'm just going to sin a little bit, but you can't come into the house. That's a lie, because you know what's happening? Why we think that Satan is just there, Satan is going through every room, every cupboard, everything, your cars. He's going through your whole property and he's destroying it. That's what happens when we allow the spirit of deception, Satan, into our lives. Just a little bit. We think, oh, it's just a little bit. I'm just doing this a little bit. That is a load of rubbish, because that little bit he just takes and takes and takes and takes. Before you know it, broken marriages. Before you know it, loss of jobs. Before you know it, burnt out character. And before you know it, you're on a scrap heap going, oh my goodness, I can't get out of this. Wherever you are in that scale, whether you're just a little bit now or whether you think that you're on the scrap heap, life's not worth living, guess what? As soon as you've got a gun to your head, life can only get better, can't it? Life can only get better. That's the lie of the enemy. He's saying, pull the trigger, man, pull the trigger. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've got to allow Jesus Christ to show us, to direct us into a brilliant future. I look out over these lives here and I think, wow, you've got an amazing future ahead of you. If you want it, it is there. This is not some sort of money throwing away thing or lifestyle thing or something. This is life, abundant life, kingdom life that you can have right now. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to give me any money or the church any money or anything like that. You can have it right now in an instant. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who wants that? Well, go out there and get it. I want to believe what the Word of God tells me about who I am and what I can achieve in life. Not what people of this world will tell me, or the enemy or Satan will tell me. Today, let us dedicate ourselves in the victory and move upward and forward. I don't know about you, but I believe in the Word of God. All I see is a bright future for me and for you and for you and for you and for you, for you, for you, for you. A bright future for all of you guys. Anyway, I ain't going to hold you down, brother. You're healed and whole. For you guys. He's blessed you with a beautiful marriage. Hang on to that. Wow. Wow. Your time's not up yet. Hey? There's a big future for you guys. The amount of people that you help, even on Facebook when you're making little comments, I love them. Family first. There's so much. And sometimes we allow the enemy to just to sit down and just and sit us down on our backsides and say, you're no good. Well, that is a lie. That was awkward, wasn't it? Sorry, I don't mean to be awkward. Young marrieds. You know, Sally and I, our first 7 or 9 years of, you know, mine, our first seven, 9 years of our marriage was absolute hell. It was. We had a lot of baggage that we hadn't worked out. I lived a life of the beat of my own drum for many years. But thank goodness, Sally had great friends that became my friends that directed me and showed me what the Word of God said. And over our lives, we've maintained and got friends that have always spoken into our lives. Isn't that right, guys? Thank you. In putting into our family. You know, we need each other. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all of you people. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a lot of people here today. And we've got to understand that. We've got to actually get it into our heads that our future is so bright. It's so good. Anymore, but just wow. I love God, I love Jesus Christ, and I love the Holy Spirit. Man, and you know what? With the opportunity that we're going to have, we've Pastor Fred gave this vision many, many years ago that for the school and for the retirement village, and we're doing amazing things in this community. And we always have done, and we always will. You know, we've got the school and the village and the church all in this big, about 40 acres, just all just mixing with one another, community. It's so good. And this is the vision of the church that we've always had here. I pray every day that the enemy will not come in and cause blockages in this community. But God will open up our gates even wider for the community to come in. Because there are lost people out there that need to know that their future is bright, that their future is glorifying God, that their future, they is going to have a lot of joy in their lives, that their future can be restored, their marriages can be restored, their families can be restored. Wow. Won't we all stand and sing a praise and worship song to the greatest, greatest King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if you need prayer this morning, if you have been told lies this morning, not this morning, you haven't told, been told any lies this morning, my goodness, blah, blah, blah. If you've been told lies over your future or in your past, I want you to come forward. We're going to break them off in Jesus' name. You're not going to be held by them anymore. Amen. Don't let the enemy hold you down. Let Jesus Christ lift you up, forward and upward. Amen. Let's do it. Let's draw a line in the sand this morning. Say negative, no more. Naysaying, no more. Bad future, no more. Life abundant, more. Amen. Let's see. Oh, praise his name, the Lord our God. Keep those words up. I haven't been able to see out of the side for about 3 or 4 days. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days he will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. When I worshipped then, it just went boing, boing. That's what God can do for you. Boing. Be healed. Be whole. Amen. Have a great weekend, what's left of it. May God richly bless you. And just remember, the future in front of you is glorious. I want you to get that as you leave this morning. Holy Spirit, as they leave those doors, inject that revelation into them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.